I don't know why I'm bothering to do the bit before the theme music, and I don't know why I'm bothering to do the bit after the theme music, because it's still only February. No one's going to be listening. Are you listening? Oh, okay then. Well, I will do the bit before the theme music. This is the bit before the theme music. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and you are... insert name here. It's great to have you here. Do you want to do the interactive bit? Yeah? Okay, here it comes. Right. Yeah. How are you? Uh-huh. Did you have a good Christmas? Oh, that's good to hear. Me? Blinding. It was a wonderful time. Truly a fabulous time. I really had a... fabulous time. Yeah, it's, the girls were at that prime age still, and it was just that'll do. I'm not gonna go on about it. You don't want to hear about my Christmas, I'm sure. So let's get on with the show. But you know what? I'm sure I've received lots of emails from lovely listeners over the Christmas period. I've forgotten most of you though, because that's a month ago now. I'll tell you what though, I was just thinking about this. This is my first episode of the year, and it does sort of seem like Christmas was such a long time ago. But you know what? If you during your day keep thinking, like, every so often, just think about what happened at Christmas. It'll stay with you, and you'll sort of keep those memories fresh. And I've been doing that a bit at work, because, as you know, I'm a gardener, and this time of year, it ain't the most fun being a gardener when the weather is as cold and as dank. We've had a lot of rain. We've had a lot of frosts. We've had no snow. I haven't had any snow, but a lot of rain and a lot of frost. It's one or the other. And gardening in that is not fun. But I tell you what, if you think about, you know, your Christmas memories, and I think about the fun I had with the girls and the places we went and the people we saw, it just gives you a warm feeling. So, worth thinking about. I'm sure I've got loads of stuff to talk about. Lovely people, like I say, that contacted me. So I'm just going to say to all of you, if you sent me an email over Christmas, I hope I replied. I try to be pretty good with these things. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for listening. And if you're here now, well... thanks so much for that. I mean, this is the time of year when I need the listeners. I've got like six or seven at Christmas, but this time of year, when it drops back down to my two or three listeners, it's just good. Was it four? I did have four for a long time last year. That was good. There was four of you out there, and I appreciate that. Anyway, that's enough of me going on about stuff. Now let's go on about some other stuff. Here we go. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Now, boys and girls, because it's the first episode of the new year, you're probably thinking, oh, he'll have an easy quiz for us. And I wish I could say that's true. It ain't true. This is not a simple quiz. But I want to ask the questions anyway, because I found all these questions quite interesting. As I'm going through my book, I don't know if I told you about the book. It's called The Biggest Christmas Quiz Book Ever. This is the one I've been going through for the last year and a bit, I think. And I was going through the questions, and there's a lot of thinking, well, I don't know the answer, but I'm quite interested in that. So I'm going to ask the question. So that's what I'm doing. And if you don't get them right, well, don't hate me. Or if you do hate me, don't tell my mum, because she loves me. And she's not going to want to know about people that hate me, is she? No. Well, she might, actually. Maybe she hates me. She's just keeping it a secret. Let's move on. Let's do this quiz. Right. Question number one. In December 1992, what was the message in the very first ever SMS? In the UK, we call it a text. You just send in a text, but I know a lot of countries call it an SMS. Sent to a mobile phone, which apparently was an Orbital 901 phone. What was the message in the first ever text? Okay, got that? Of course you haven't. Very difficult one. You might have got it. Okay, question number two. In 2020, which singer charted at number three, I'm guessing that's in the UK, with a cover of Donny Hathaway's song, This Christmas, hang on, let me stop, I'm gonna be ba-doom-da-ba, ba-ba-doom-boom, This Christmas, that one. Who heard that cover with that? Question number three. Santa Tell Me, Santa, tell me if you really there. Ba be ba do ba dee ba do ba be ba 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 next year. Okay, that was a song that became a number 13 hit in 2018, for which singer, after being originally released in 2014, it's 10 years old, that song. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. Who sung it anyway? Who sung that song? Don't have to tell me, just write it down or think about it. Question number something. Starring Archie Yates, Rob Delaney and Eileen B, and released on Disney Plus on the 12th of December 2021, what is the title of the sixth film in the Home Alone franchise? Pretty easy one, that one, if you know the answer. If you don't know the answer, it's very difficult. I've said this before, we've discussed how quizzes work. Yeah, I know that one. I watched it, didn't care for it. Did not care for it. Do you know what you sort of think? If you're going to do a proper reboot, it wasn't like made for TV, all that was made for TV. It was meant to be like cinema level quality, I would have thought. I imagine it was quite expensive. You'd think they'd put a bit more effort into it, like a decent script, but I'm not going to go into it, but it wasn't very good. Question number, I don't care. The longest wish list delivered to Santa Claus in Lapland was in... Did you know that? You might not know this. In the UK... and a lot of Europe, Lapland has like cornered the market in that's where you go to see Santa, and it ain't cheap. I don't imagine we're going to be taking Robin and Juno there ever for Christmas, but I know, like, my wife, she's spoken to some of the other mums at school, and they've taken their kids there, and it ain't cheap. And one of them wouldn't tell my wife how much it cost. She's like, I can't tell you. Well, did she say I can't tell you, or just ignored the question? I don't know. Anyway, it's not cheap if you want to fly to Lapland at Christmas. You can go sort of like October, November, it's a lot cheaper, but it ain't really Christmas then, is it? It's probably cold still up in Lapland. Anyway, you might not know that, but in Lapland, they've got like their Santa there, and people, you fly over, and yeah. Anyway, I've just explained it. I've just explained it twice. Do you want me to explain it a third time? I'm not doing it. Right. Anyway, so the longest wish list delivered to Santa Claus in Lapland was in 2012 and consisted of how many wishes and created a new Guinness World Record. Okay, now you've got to get it to the nearest. If you can get it within 5,000, I'll be impressed. There's a lot of wishes on there. I wasn't even close. I didn't even have a clue. Okay, next one. Which diarist, this is a fairly easy one, there ain't that many famous diarists from the 17th century. Which diarist wrote on Christmas Day 1662, had a pleasant walk to Whitehall, when I intended to have communion with the family, but I came a little too late. He missed communion on Christmas Day. Shame on you. But shame on who? Whom was that diarist? Question number... something? Right, this is... right, I didn't get this one. See if you can get it. Which Honolulu-born dual national American/Australian actor's first feature film was in 1983's Bush Christmas as Helen Thompson, and it was set in the outback? Now, I've never heard of that film, but it's a Christmas film. That was her first film. Yeah, because she played a character called Helen. So it was a woman. Whom was that? She was born in Honolulu, but then she lived in Australia. Who is she? I don't know. Well, I do know because I've looked at the answer, but I didn't know, but I know now. I didn't get a point because I didn't know the answer. Let's go, just moving on. Right. Question, I don't care. In the chart of 1984, oh, hang on, I do care. I think this is number 9, is it? Are we that far through? In the chart of 1984, which band had a hit with Thank God It's Christmas? Okay, do you want me to sing it for you? Thank God It's Christmas. That's all you're getting. And the last one, only two of the four Gospels in the Holy Bible relate the story of the Nativity. But which ones? You can have half a point for each one, okay? I'll tell you now, I only got one of them. Okay, this is me from the future, and I just realised in the future I didn't ask all 10 questions, so I've had to go back in time to ask the 10th questions. The 10th question's coming now, are you ready? In a 1987 TV special based on the comic strip, which cat went with his owner, John Arbuckle, as a clue, to spend Christmas with his family at their farm, okay? Right, that was your 10th question. Mistakes were made, don't get angry. Okay, now I've got to go back to the future, and so I'm off, I'll see you in a second. Right, are you ready for the answers? Because they're coming, whether you like it or not. Question number one, what was that first ever text message that was sent, SMS you might call it, in December 1992? Do you know what the message was? Two words, it was, get stuffed. No, it wasn't, it was Merry Christmas. Yeah, that was the first ever text message. Question number two. In 2020, which singer charted at number 3 with a cover of Donny Hathaway's song, This Christmas? And that was Jess Glynn. Yeah, I've heard of her. Couldn't tell you. The only song of hers that I'm aware of is her cover of This Christmas, because I learnt about it when I was doing this quiz. Question number 3. Santa Tell Me was a song that became a number 13 hit in 2018 for which singer, after being originally released in 2014. You know that one? I knew it. It was Ariana Grande, which Grande meaning big, so it's Big Ariana. And she's only tiny. She's like 5'3 or something, isn't she? Smaller than that? I don't know. Question number, I don't know! Starring Archie Yates, Rob Delaney and Eileen B. I'm probably saying that wrong. And released on December Plus, not the B bit, the Eileen bit. It's spelled A-I-S-L-I-N-G. A-I-S-L-I-N-G. Anyway, Eileen, I'm saying. It was released on Disney Plus on the 12th November 2021. What's the title of the 6th film in the Home Alone franchise? It was, of course, Home Sweet Home Alone. And the next question. The longest wish list delivered to Santa Claus in Lapland was in 2012 and consisted of how many wishes and created a new Guinness World Record? Are you ready? It was 75,954. Now, I'm not quite sure what the deal is with that, because, like, is it one person's Christmas list to Santa? Because they've got to come up with 75,954 different things. I'll tell you, really easy to do it, right? Yeah, you could say, oh, I'd like a key ring with number 1 on it. Number 2, I'd like a key ring with number 3 on it. And the next one, number 4, no, 3, sorry, I'd like a key ring. You do that up to 75,955, you've just got a new world record, eh? Yeah, you only need to beat them by one, don't you? Okay, I don't know what the deal is, but that was the answer. If you said anything from 70,000 to 80,000, you get a point. Congratulations. Question number... Which diarist wrote on Christmas Day 1662, had a pleasant walk to Whitehall, when I intended to have communion with the family, but I came a little too late? That was, of course, Samuel Pepys. If you've not heard of Samuel Pepys, you should have. In the UK, you've definitely heard of him. If you're not in the UK, he wrote about the Great Plague and also the Great Fire of London. So, yeah, that was Samuel Pepys. Very famous diaries. Yeah, his books were called The Diary of Samuel Pepys. Thank you. Right, who was this actress, right, who was born in Honolulu and they've got American and Australian dual citizenship? And she was in this 1983 film. It's her first film, right? And it's called Bush Christmas. Who was it? You ready? Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Yeah. Do you know what? If you'd asked me, I thought her first film was BMX Bandits. I saw that at the cinema. Yeah, BMX Bandits. Really good. Not really. Actually, I say that, not really. When I watched it, I thought it was the best thing ever. And now I watch it now, it's like, what is this crap? Right. Question number... Oh, we're up to 9. In the chart of 1984, which... But they don't even tell you where it charted. They do that with other songs. Why not with this one? In the chart of 1984, which band had a hit with Thank God It's Christmas? That was, of course, The Queen. Yes, she released a Christmas single. It was part of her Queen's speech. That year, instead of doing a normal speech, she was all decked out in her heavy metal rocker gear, singing, Thank God It's... Oh, hang on. No, she wasn't. What? That was the band Queen. Oh, it's not quite as exciting, is it? Freddie Mercury dancing around, singing Thank God It's Christmas. Oh, well. And the last one. Only 2 of the 4 Gospels in the Holy Bible relate the story of the Nativity. But which ones? Well, I went for Luke and John, and I was wrong because it was Luke and Matthew. And I should have known that. The thing is, I sort of thought Matthew. I don't know why I went with John. Mistakes were made. Do you want to know what I was scored? Do you want to know? I'll tell you. Oh, hang on a minute. Okay, right. Do you know what? This is going to turn up at the end of when I do the questions. I've just realised something. Mistakes were made. I'm going to... You know the mistakes were made because I've already told you, but I'm just doing it now. Question number 10. Don't blame me, all right? Don't blame me, okay? Or do blame me because it was my fault. But don't blame me. You can blame me. Do what you want. I don't care. It's not like we're ever going to meet. Right, where was I? The answer to the 10th question was... In the 1987 TV special based on which comic strip about a cat, yeah, went with his owner, John Arbuckle, that's a clue, to spend Christmas with his family at their farm. That was, of course, Garfield. Yes, that was your 10th one. Okay, sorry, mistakes were made. I just realised, but I've gone back in time to give you that question earlier. It's amazing how these things work. Right, So what did I score? I got 5.5. Isn't that naff? 5.5.
Oh well.
I hope you did better than me. And I hope you enjoyed the quiz. And if you didn't enjoy it, don't worry, because it's over now and we're going to do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Boys and girls, this is the first segment from our podcast barman, Bob Baker. It's great to have him amongst us. And do you know what? This is really interesting because I did not know that this word was not used in the States. So, yeah, have a listen to this.
So I was watching It's a Wonderful Life at the Tiki Bar this season, and I came to a sad realization. I think my guardian angel drinks. Happy New Year. I hope you all had an excellent holiday season. I did. My wife's family gave me COVID for Christmas. Oh, it was so personal and unexpected. It did give me time on my back to enjoy the year-end reviews on TV. I was watching a recap by The Hollywood Reporter, and they were announcing the biggest losers of the year. It was the Sussexes. Now, I don't know about you, but I had no idea who they were talking about. They meant Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I guess that's their royal title. But this is like calling Prince or Bono by their last names, which are Nelson and Houston, respectively. Anyway, they spent 10 minutes talking about them. Now, we had 656 mass shootings in the U.S. in 2023. I know that Harry and Meghan, for shame, didn't include their children on their Christmas card, but wouldn't any one of those shooters have been a bigger loser? But I digress. Anyway, they had a British reporter on who said how their whinging and complaining about the royal family had not served the Sussexes very well. And this is when my "do you hear what I hear" instincts were reactivated for 2024. Whinging the royals, whatever that is, it sounds positively dirty. This word is almost non-existent in America, which I guess makes sense because it comes from the Old English period, so pre-1150. Whinge is an old word, and it comes from another Old English word, whine, which meant to make a whizzing or humming sound like an arrow in flight. Whine originally referred just to the sound someone would make if they were unhappy or to show discontent. So then whinge developed to mean more like a wailing or crying when in distress. Eventually, over time, whine came to mean to complain, and Americans use the word whine. But for the Brits, whining had a variety of meaning, including sounds made by people, animals, or even objects. The term whinny comes from this word. Whinging, however, in the UK is more specifically very persistent and irritating complaining. But it is not just the act of complaining, it also implies annoyance with the complainers and that their griping is unreasonable. It is often used with a synonym for emphasis, like the reporter did when she said whinging and complaining. It seems that the use of this word has grown more common since the 1980s and has become suddenly popular in the 2000s. No one knows why, but I wouldn't whinge about it. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? So we say that all the time. Stop whinging. Stop whining. I'm good at it, actually, whinging. That's pretty much... If I could get paid for my whinging, I would probably be one of the richest men in the world. Probably, I reckon, because I'm that good at it. I'm that good at it. And when I say good, it's not good listening to me whinge. Goodness, no. This is interesting. It might be. This is not related to Christmas, but anyone in Australia listening will know that they refer to us Brits as whinging poms. Pom is the word they use to describe British people. Poms. Do you know where it comes from? There's lots of reasons you'll hear that aren't true, but apparently it's because it's like... In Australia, they use a bit of rhyming slang, like we use in the UK, in like Cockney rhyming slang in London. And in Australia, pomegranate was another word for immigrant. Pomegranate. It's not that close, but it's close enough, so that's why they call us Poms, apparently. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it, because it's time for us to do this. Oh, sorry, before I do, thanks, Bob. You're beautiful. We'll see you again later in the show.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Just before I get into this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, I want to start by saying, you know, this year I watched Muppet Christmas Carol with the girls at the cinema. Yeah, and we really loved it. It was great. Do you know, we got there a few minutes late, and I'm really annoyed about that because we missed most of the first song, and that's one of my favourite songs. But other than that, it was blinding seeing it on the big screen again. Like, I saw it back when I was a kid. I say kid, I was late teens, when it first came out, and then I saw it again this year with my little ones, and they really enjoyed it. They sat all the way through it, no wriggling, no running around. So yeah, great to see. And then I watched the Alistair Sim version. That's the one I watch. I watch it every year on my own in the dark, and I drink mulled wine, and I blooming loved it. I really did, watching it again. Don't get tired of that one. Really love it. Anyway, you might remember this, you might not, but back in one of the December episodes, I read out an email from listener Rob Davison, and I'll just rattle through it quickly again. He's put, I'm aware you're trying out different version adaptations of A Christmas Carol, and thought you might like to know about something I literally dreamt up a couple of nights ago. I had a cold upon me, so decided to have an early night. In my fevered state, as I slept, I dreamed up an utterly bizarre version of the Dickens classic in which Paul Chuckle was Scrooge and the ghost of Barry turned up in chains to warn him. Unfortunately, it only got that far before I woke up in a cold sweat, but it got me thinking, how about it? A Chuckle Brothers Christmas Carol, could that have worked? And then he put, straight after, he put another quick note. I just googled it and it actually exists. I can't believe it, it's called A Christmas Chuckle. And then in another email, he's put, I gave Christmas Chuckle a watch. It was very different to what I dreamed up. So there you go. And he also put, I still enjoyed it, mind, because it's the Chuckle Brothers who it's impossible not to love. I can 100% recommend it. So I said to him, well, I'm definitely going to have a watch of that one. And this is the first one I'm doing this year. It is called Chuckle Christmas, A Chuckle Christmas. And it's with the Chuckle Brothers. And you are there at home, or wherever you are. Actually, you could be in the gym, couldn't you? Or you could be driving your car. Or you could be at work. Or you could be... where else could you be? Where else could you be? I'm not going to go into it. This joke's run its course. yeah, you're there thinking, who's these Chuckle Brothers then? Who are they? Well, I'll tell you, all right? Don't panic. The Chuckle Brothers were a comedy duo. And their real names were Barry and Paul Elliott. And their dad was a comedian. And his name was Jimmy Elliott. But he changed his name to Gene Patton. I don't know why. Was it spite? I don't know. I reckon Jimmy Elliott sounds like a better comedian's name than Gene Patton. But that's just me. Anyway, so he had these two sons, right? But he also had another two sons that were also a comedy duo, right? Their names were Brian and Jimmy Elliott, which is interesting, because that's like the dad's name. So he named one of his sons Jimmy. They called themselves the Patton Brothers, after their dad's stage name. Yeah, so you've got the Chuckle Brothers and you've got the Patton Brothers. So the Chuckle Brothers, that's Paul and Barry Elliott, they called themselves Paul and Barry Chuckle. They started off this TV show called The Chuckle Hounds, and I watched one episode. I remember it when it first came out. It came out about 85, I think, and it was naff. It was like for preschoolers, and it was these two blokes in dog costumes. You couldn't see their faces, so you could just say it's two dogs, but it wasn't, because it was blokes in dog costumes. And they do naff slapstick stuff with no talking. Like, each episode was like 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And yeah, I watched an episode the other day and it was just real trolley. You could barely figure out what was meant to be going on. It was meant to be funny, but it wasn't. Anyway, they got given their own series where they took off their suits. Well, they didn't take them off in the series. It's a different series. It's called Chuckle Vision, right? And I'm going to play the theme tune to you, because this is catchy, and anyone my age will know this. So They got this TV show, right? It started in 1987. Here's a question for you. Any British listeners, I don't know if it went overseas, I don't know. If it did, you can have a guess as well. If it didn't, you can still have a guess, I don't care. But here's the thing, right? If you're in the UK, I want you to see if you can guess how long that TV show ran for. How long do you reckon it ran for? You ready? It ran from 1987 to 2009. 22 years! I couldn't believe it. I thought, if I had to guess, I would have said, well, 7 or 8 years. 22 years! Still going in 2009. Till they're like, do you know what, boys? We've had enough of this now. This is the deal, right? They were in their 40s when it started. So by the, they were middle-aged men then. By the end of it, they're like elderly men. They're both like, well, one of them was an OAP, over 65. I think the other one was just about 60. It ran for 21 seasons in those 22 years, and there were 292 episodes. Now, most of the episodes were like 15 minutes long, but some of them were like 30 minutes long, depending on which season. And each episode was kind of independent from the other episode. So one week they could be doing, I don't know, working in an ice cream shop. And then another episode, it could be set back in time, like in the Wild West or something. I'm guessing, I'd never saw that episode. That sort of thing, anyway. So every episode was like a different, pretty much a different one. But you had their brothers, right? Brian and Jimmy Patton would often be in the episodes. And Jimmy, he'd always play a different character, but his catchphrase was, no slacking. Here it comes.
And remember, no slacking.
Yeah, and there was a lot of catchphrases, actually, in the show. And the other brother, right, Brian, his catchphrase was, oh, I'll play it.
Get out of it!
Yeah, that's him saying, get out of it. But he said it, you heard the way he said it. Anyway, this is really interesting, right? So the one that played No Slacking, when he was 85, he got married to a girl who was a big fan of Chucklevision, right? And she was 25. He was 60 years older than her. Yeah, married when he was 85, she's 25. He died 3 years later. Yeah, a 60-year age gap. I've seen the pictures. He wasn't an ugly man, but he was still 85. And she's not an unattractive girl. She's decent looking, I'd say. Yeah, the thing is, if you're not familiar with the Chuckle Brothers or even their family, you'll be thinking, what is the relevance of this crap? And the answer is, I can't tell you that. But if you are a fan of the Chucklevision and you remember No Slacking, you'd be mildly interested in that, wouldn't you? I was. We're like, well, we're all different. Can I just move on? Because we're never going to get to this bloody episode. So one other thing I want to say is when it started, like I said, Paul was 40. Barry, his brother, was 43. And do you know what? In the first seasons, they had those killer mullets, proper 80s mullets. What they say, party at the back, business at the front. Proper spiky hair on top and straight down the back mullet haircuts. I don't know if you call it a mullet in your country, but that's what the haircut is called. Proper 80s it was. They had a lot of catchphrases. There was this one.
Silly me.
Silly you.
Yeah. Silly me. Silly you. There was this one.
Hello.
Hello.
There was this one.
Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear.
There was this one.
You stupid thing.
And there was this one.
To you. To me.
And don't forget, their brothers had their catchphrases, weren't they, on there? And I probably missed a couple that I couldn't be bothered to put them all on. One thing I want to say about that last one, to you. We used to go in this pub, and when we were young, we were like late teens, probably, like maybe very early 20s. One of the barmen looked a lot like Paul Chuckle. So when he'd hand you his pint, we'd all go, to me, to you, as he handed the pint. He didn't like it. He did not find it funny at all. If you didn't like it, shave your moustache, mate. You wouldn't look like Paul Chuckle. Shave your moustache, you won't look like Paul Chuckle. Right, that's enough of the backstory about the Chucklevision, okay? Won a lot of awards, though. See, look, there's me saying it's enough about the backstory. I'm still adding more crap. That's all I'm going to say about Chucklevision. This one is actually set at Christmas in Victorian times, okay? It's Christmas Eve. Now, I want to make it clear that it's very hard to tell what's going on with the timings in this episode, but you just gotta go with it, I suppose. Yeah. It opens, and I quite like this bit actually. It opens, they own a sweet shop, okay? Paul, who's the younger brother, he's the boss. Barry, the older brother, obviously, he's his lackey. And Paul's sitting at a table counting hundreds and thousands with a pair of tweezers. You might not know what hundreds and thousands are. You might just call them sprinkles, but these are like hundreds and thousands of really small sprinkles. And he gets support, he's counting through, and he's like, there's one missing. So he starts counting again. Found that funny. Barry comes in carrying these boxes, right? He takes them to the bedroom and one falls under the bed. We'll get to that later. And then Barry's got to sit at the front counter, like serve any customers. And he's just sitting down to have a nice cup of tea. And
his brother comes in and goes, "Oh, put that super sherbet, super chuckle sherbet, up on the top shelf." And then, but just before he does, he says, "Why is it called super chuckle sherbet?" And he puts a tiny bit in his cup of tea, and it all foams off, like all starts bubbling up and bubbling up, foam going everywhere. And I've got to mention that because we'll get back to that later. And do you know what? This made me laugh. Actually, he says this bit afterwards.
"What are you doing? You put sherbet in my tea. It's ruined now."
"No, not to worry. I'll take it out of your wages."
Yeah. Then a bike gets delivered, right? So we've got this delivery driver, okay? And the delivery driver is played by Brian Elliot, their brother, their older brother, one of their older brothers. And he just delivers this bike, and it's like, Paul, this is at the back. Barry don't see this, but Paul's like, "Oh, this is a Christmas present from myself to me." And he's like, "Put it in the shed." Then Paul is there on his bed counting his cash, right? And he puts it in a box, puts it under the bed. Then Barry takes off one of his socks. He sniffs it. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Santa." And he hangs it over his chair. And he gets another wooden chair. And he's just there trying to sleep on these two wooden chairs because it's bedtime. They're going to bed. And I found that mildly funny that was his bed, was two chairs put together, two wooden chairs. And then the ghost of Christmas past comes into Paul's room. Right, so there's no Jacob Marley character, none of that. We've got the Ghost of Christmas Past. And he is also played by their older brother, Brian. Can you explain that to me? Just get a different actor. There's no reason why the delivery bloke should be the same actor as the Ghost of Christmas Past. Ridiculous. Anyway, there's only one flashback scene, right? It's really, I don't get it, but it happened. They're there, dressed as little boys in like little sailor outfits, and they pull a cracker, and Paul wins. And it's like one of those silly glasses with the nose, the big nose attached and the moustache underneath. And he puts them on and he's like, "How do I look?" And Barry holds up a mirror and Paul looks in it and he can see Barry looking back at him, looking sad. And he wakes up screaming, right? And while this is going on, we cut to Barry and he's getting a card that he's got for Paul. And for some reason he's got the sherbet and a bottle. Don't know what the bottle is. Could be vodka. It's clear liquid. Could be water. Unlikely. Back in those days. And for some reason, he hears the scream and he shoves it all in the oven just like to hide it because he's worried about what's going on. Runs in to see Paul. Paul has seen the light and he says this, which made me laugh.
"I've been back to the mansion where we grew up. We never grew up in a mansion.
I've been visited by a ghost."
"I don't believe you."
"He said I've got to be kinder to you."
"I believe you."
And then he's like, "Right, I love Christmas now." And this is the timing. I'm not sure what the timings are. Is this the morning? I'm guessing it's the morning now. I don't know. Anyway, it's meant to be Christmas Day. I sort of thought it might have been Christmas Eve and they're getting ready for... I don't know because the timings are so bad. Anyway, Barry goes off to get a turkey and a Christmas tree. And Paul is making a Christmas pudding. And he gets the cash that he'd been counting the night before, pours it all into the pudding mix and is mixing it in. Barry turns up with the smallest turkey you've ever seen. I'm pretty sure it was a quail. He's got like a quail and he's like, "Oh, well, that'll make for a nice snack." And that all goes in the oven. And then I'm not quite sure where Paul goes, but there's a knock at the door and Barry goes and answers the door and it's a poor man there begging, right? Here's the thing. That poor man, played by the same guy again, their older brother Brian. What is that about? I don't get it. Just get three different actors. Anyway, so he gives him the pudding, right? Because he's begging. He's like, "Oh yeah, I have to have this pudding." He doesn't know that Paul has put all the cash in it. So Paul comes back in and he gets really angry and he's like, "Right, I hate Christmas again. Christmas is cancelled." And he says this.
"That was a dream. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in Christmas and I certainly don't believe in you. But peace and goodwill. You can take your goodwill and leave me in peace."
Yeah. And I thought that was funny-ish, I suppose. So then Barry's like all sad. But this is the weird bit where Paul goes to bed again. So I don't know what was that? Was it morning? He's gone back for a go back to sleep in the morning. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Paul's like, "Oh, I know." So he dresses up as a ghost, right? It's very obvious. It's just him in a wig and chains and a white dress. And he goes in and he says, "I'm the Ghost of Christmas Presents." And he says, "You've got to be nice to your brother Barry." So Paul's like, "Okay, I'll be good from now on." And so Barry goes out. And this is the start of a pattern where he keeps doing this sort of stuff. So Barry goes out and they're sat there and they're just chatting. And he's going, "Yeah, the ghost told me to stop being nice to you." And Barry's like, oh, great, yeah, have a gobstopper. And he knocks all the gobstoppers on the floor. And Paul's like, oh, you've ruined Christmas again. Just because some gobstoppers on the floor. So, right, you can clear those up. So Barry runs off, puts the ghost stuff on again, comes back out and goes, oh, don't make your brother clean up those gobstoppers. Or whatever. So then Barry comes back in with a dustpan and brush. And Paul's like, no, I'll do that. Give me that. I'll clear those up. So then Barry gives Paul his card. And Paul's like, oh, nice, my card. And Paul's like, did you get anything for me? He's like, no. He's like, oh, but he talks about his bike, yeah? And Paul's like, but you didn't get anything for me? And he's like, no. And Barry's like, okay, hold on. Goes off, dressed as a ghost, comes back out, and again, it's like, and the ghost says this.
Whoa!
Not you again!
No, I'm a different one this time. I am the ghost of, giving Barry a proper present.
And I found that funny as well. And then they're like talking about sharing riding the bike, so one of them's got to shovel the bike. And then it cuts briefly to Barry riding the bike around the house, and we get the idea that another ghost has come, saying that, you know, the ghost of letting Barry ride bikes or whatever. And then, I don't know why, but Paul is looking for something and he finds the ghost costume, right? And he's like, oh, hang on a minute, I know what's going on here. Meanwhile, the sherbet that was in the oven earlier, okay, it's got really hot and it just explodes. So Barry stood there after the explosion. In comes Paul as the ghost, and he's like, oh, I'm the ghost of... No, he says this.
Whoa.
Ah! I am the ghost of Christmas future.
I don't believe you.
And it's going to be a bleak future.
Ah!
I'll teach you to ruin dinner.
It was an accident.
Giving away my life savings.
That was an accident too.
How about pretend to be all those ghosts?
Just a bit of fun.
And he starts chasing Barry around because he figured out that Barry's been pretending to be these ghosts. At this point, can I just say, if you're not familiar with the Chuckle Brothers, you're probably having trouble keeping track of what's going on. So I'll just say, don't let it bother you. Okay, so then Barry runs and hides under the bed. And Paul is jumping up and down on the bed saying, you can't hide from me, you can't hide from me. And then Barry's like, hang on a minute, what's this? It's all the cash. And Paul's like, I thought I'd put all the cash in the pudding. And Barry's like, oh no, it must have been this. And he takes out another box. There's a box full of chocolate coins. He goes, you must have put chocolate coins in it. And they're like, hey, we got loads of money again. Hooray! And they decide that they love Christmas and they're going to be good from now on. And this I found quite funny. And this is the ending narration. Have a listen to this.
And so Mr. Paul and Mr. Barry had learned the lesson of Christmas. They continued to live and work in peace and goodwill and extended kindness and consideration to their customers and those less fortunate than themselves. And within 6 months, they were bankrupt.
Yeah, I like that. Do you know what? And that reminded me of at least two versions of A Christmas Carol I've done. They've not been versions of A Christmas Carol. They've been like follow-ons from The Christmas Carol, telling like what happened to Scrooge afterwards. And both of those, Scrooge becomes too nice for his own good, and people take advantage of him. Well, I don't think that's what comes across from reading the book. But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. So overall, it's a bit silly. And when I say a bit silly, it's really silly, but it is aimed at like, probably actually Robin and Juno's age. Yeah, probably like your 5 to 7 to 8 year olds. I think if they're much older than that, they'd be starting to think this is a bit naff. I had trouble sitting through it. I had to sit through it like 3 times because I, you know, wanted to catch all the nuances. Yeah, it was filled with nuances. But if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube. And the Chuckle Brothers did have like another 3 Christmas episodes. But don't worry, boys and girls, I will not be boring you with those because they're not based on A Christmas Carol. But before I go, let me just say thanks again to Rob Davison for recommending that one. I'm sure we all appreciate it. Now it's time for this. So, boys and girls, do you remember last year I was reading out the jokes from my Christmas toilet roll? Yeah, I'd tell you every episode that's where the joke was coming from. Well, I got to the end of the toilet roll. Not the end of the toilet roll itself, but like to the loop of the jokes where they started repeating themselves again, if that makes sense. There's only a certain amount on there. Yeah, we got to the end of them. I suppose I didn't do all the jokes because some of them I'd already done before and some of them were just naff, like really naff. More naff than the jokes I normally do. Yeah, so I'm not using a toilet roll anymore. So now I really am using it to wipe my bumbaleo. Yeah, so this week's joke is pretty bad, actually. But when have they ever been good? Here we go. This is coming from my old Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes book. Do you remember that one? Yeah, I've had it before and I'm reading from it again. Here's a joke. How does Darth Vader enjoy his Christmas turkey? On the dark side. Yeah, I said it wasn't good, but, you know, we do what we can. Let's move on.
I did something I shouldn't have, and these people called me on it.
You didn't.
That's pretty low, mister. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you.
Do you know what? That's not the only jingle I've got to play for this one. I've got to play this as well. Have a listen. So, recently, I've been getting emails from listener Alfred Perales. I hope I said that right, Alfred, your surname. And he's really been enjoying the show. He sent me some lovely messages, and he wanted to share with me the story, not about how he found out about Santa, but how his son found out about Santa. So, have a listen to this.
Hey, Jack, this is Alfred, and I have a story which I will call The Christian Dilemma. It was 2015, and I had recently returned to my Christian faith, which I had grown up in, but hadn't really been practicing for years. After learning about all the different pagan traditions that had made their way into Christmas tradition, I was feeling a bit uneasy about celebrating Santa and things like Christmas trees and even presents, but the idea of giving a gift seemed to correlate with the gift that Jesus Christ had given to the world by being born here in order to die. Anyways, I had come to the decision that I was going to teach my son the truth about Santa Claus being a pagan belief, being fake, and that the real one true reason to celebrate Christmas was to worship Jesus Christ and acknowledge everything he had done. So, to my shock, one day I was sitting in the kitchen with my parents, and they tell my son, "Hey buddy, Santa Claus is going to be coming pretty soon. You've been a really good kid, you know, you're going to get a lot of presents this year." Having made the decision in my mind, but never really voicing my opinion to my parents or my wife, this is kind of like a shock to me, because in a way they had jumped the gun and gotten off that whole idea in my son's head before I had a chance to even tell him the truth about anything. So at that moment, I decided to send my son out of the room and go into a debate with my parents, or more like me aggressively telling them why I was going to tell my son the truth about Santa Claus, where they tried to bring me to my senses to understand the fact that he was just a child, he really didn't understand all that seriousness, and that he should really take his time and enjoy his innocence. So the whole argument got pretty loud. But finally, my parents had come to the point where they had just about convinced me to agree with them. And it was at this moment that my son walked into the room straight up to me and asked, with a very upset look on his face, "Is Santa Claus real?" At that moment, I reacted out of instinct, and with my blood already boiling, practically, I went off on my son. And this is probably the part that I regret. I angrily told him why I felt that Santa Claus was just a distraction, and desperately almost yelled at him why Jesus Christ was the only icon that mattered during Christmas. I went on for some minutes until I realized that he had broken down crying, and this kind of brought me down to earth again, where I tried to, in a more comforting way, explain to him why it was that I felt this way, and tried to explain to him what Jesus Christ meant to me. Now, unfortunately, at this point, my son's heart was broken, and his hope and belief in a magical Christmas had been shattered. And this is something that always saddens me to think back on. Even though today, my son still appreciates Christmas, and he sees how much I love the season and the holiday. You see, it wasn't until after Zach had grown up, and I had my second child, which was my daughter, that I started to really see Christmas for what it was, as an entire, complete holiday, with all the fixings, if you would, with all the music about Santa Claus and winter, wonderlands and snowmen and reindeers, you know, all the good stuff, including all of the carols, you know, all of the focus on Jesus Christ and the goodwill of man, and the gift that God gave to us, and the hope of a future that he gave to us. I love it all. And maybe this is what made my son a little spiteful, because now he reminds me of the time when I ruined Christmas for him. But at the same time, I feel good inside knowing that I taught my son about the Messiah, the Savior of humankind. And I'm glad that everything wasn't ruined for my son. He did grow up to be quite a good young man, and well, sometimes we just look back and wonder what was going on with me at that time.
So when he first shared that story with me, he typed it out and I read it and I was like, oh, this is a bit, isn't it? Like, imagine that. It's coming up to Christmas and your son comes strolling. Oh, I can't wait for Santa to come in. And your dad spins around and goes, there is no Santa. It's all about Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. No Santa, just Jesus. What about Frosty? No Frosty. No Rudolph. Just Jesus. And, it's like, and then like a few years later, it's like, he's calmed down a bit. It's like, yeah, there is a Santa actually, or at least tell your sister there is, but I mean, yeah, mistakes were made. And the thing is, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because if you're like really hardline Christian, it is the reason for the season. We all know that. Although people would argue against that, because obviously people have been celebrating the winter solstice for long before Jesus was born. But, you know, it's called Christmas for a reason. But there's a lot that goes into it. You know, there's a lot added onto it that you just gotta love, haven't ya? So, yeah. But a bit tricky if you're like a real hardcore Christian and you just want to make everything about Jesus. But it sounds like Alfred sort of got beyond that and now he's just happy in his faith and he accepts Santa Claus into his life and his daughter's life. So, yeah, it's a really interesting story and I'm glad that Alfred shared it with me and I hope that you gained something from listening to it. I found that really interesting, that one. If you want to share your story about how you found out about Santa, I would love to hear it. You can type it out and send it through, or if you want to do what Alfred did, I'd really appreciate that. You can record it and email it through. I'd love to hear it, and I know the other listeners would love to hear it too. Just one other thing I want to say. Alfred has also read my book and he really loved it. He left me a lovely glowing review on Amazon. And when we were emailing back and forth, he mentioned about he wanted to watch my Batman film. So I sent it to him. And he really loved that as well. Now, if you're fairly new to the show, you're probably not aware that I have made a feature-length movie. It's like a mockumentary about Batman, where I play the real-life Batman. And Robin, my daughter, plays Robin, the girl Wanda. And it's something. Alfred loved it, and if you really would like to watch it, let me know, get in contact, and I'll send it through. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Alfred really did enjoy it, and it made me feel really good, because I've not had a lot of feedback about it. I have sent it to certain other people, and they never said anything about it, so I'm sort of guessing it wasn't their cup of tea. But, Alfred loved it, and if you're interested in watching it, there's two versions, like a 2-hour and a 1-hour one. Alfred watched both of them, would you believe? Yeah, I haven't watched it in a few years, actually. I should go back to it, because it really does still make me laugh. Yeah, anyway, that's something that's out there if you want a bit more of Jack in your life. So, once more, thank you to Alfred. Thanks for sharing your story. We all appreciate it. Boys and girls, this is Bob Baker's new segment. Last year, he talked about keeping Christmas all year long. This year, he wants to talk more about keeping a spirit of giving all year long. Have a listen to this.
Thanks, Jack. As I suggested at the end of last year, I want to evolve this segment to be less about how you keep Christmas in your own life all year, and instead, how you can spread Christmas cheer outside of the season. I mean, it is much easier to find ways to have certain festive elements in our own lives. I mean, we can listen to Christmas music all year, or keep our lights up, or even watch all last year's Hallmark movies. However, it becomes a little more challenging to maintain that same level of holiday enthusiasm as the months drag on and it gets much warmer outside. I think we could all use input on what others do to keep showing their festive spirit all year. And I would like to consider some ways that don't necessarily cost money. I mean, it is easy to suggest just pay for someone's order or their coffee at a local drive-thru or to give a charitable donation. But this is not always possible. We may at times be challenged ourselves from a financial perspective, but that doesn't mean that you can't continue to make a difference. My first suggestion is a free one, and an excellent way to spread a little joy to others.
I know that when you set a specific amount of a task to be done, it may seem a little forced and not genuine. The problem is, without setting a goal, it usually doesn't get done. I think we should all strive in 2024 to offer at least 5 compliments per day to our friends, family, coworkers, and even to strangers. I mean, if you are thinking it, make sure you say it, because we often don't. Sometimes we spend a little too much time just thinking about ourselves and not enough about others. We need to pass on encouragement. If you start out making a concerted effort to say 5 compliments a day, over time it will become more natural and you'll do it without thinking. This is a great, simple exercise to adopt at the start of a new year. If you know of another way to spread a smile of joy, let us know, and we'll throw our arms around the world.
Do you know what? I think that is fantastic, and I am going to do my damnedest to try and do that. Now, being a gardener, I don't interact with a lot of people in my day-to-day, but I will start trying. I'm going to try and at least compliment the wife every day. Normally I do, but you know what? There's nothing better than when you get a compliment from a stranger. I'm getting older. I'm not as handsome as I used to be. I used to get the odd compliment, and it would always be delightful, and it'd make you feel good about yourself for the rest of the day. So imagine if you can do that. Giving out compliments doesn't have to be like, you know, "God, you're gorgeous, love." It doesn't have to be like that. You know, if you say something like, "Do you know what? I really like your jacket," or "You look really nice in that jacket today," or "You've got a nice smile today." Just things like this really make people's day. And you could do that. You could go and spread that joy. Bob, that is fantastic. I think that's set you up for the year. The rest of the ones you do this year can be naff, because that one I'm going to do my damnedest to try and keep. Thank you, Bob. Now, before we move on, I've got to do this because I do it every episode. I want to recommend Bob's podcast. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans. He talks about foreign films, festive ones. Yeah, with his mate, Mark. And I've been listening to every episode and I've been loving it. He didn't take a break in January. Well done to you, Bob. I did, as you know, or don't know. I don't know. I don't know when you're listening to this. But yeah, have a listen to Festive Foreign Film Fans. It's fantastic. And that is it for this episode. You know what? I used to do the old recommendation, then I sort of missed a few because I didn't have anything to recommend. I haven't really got anything to recommend at the moment. I haven't watched any great films. I'm not listening to any particularly good podcasts. I'm listening to like the regular ones I normally listen to. If you've got anything you want to recommend to me, I'll be happy to share it with the listeners. But yeah, otherwise, all I'll recommend is what Bob said. Go out and give your 5 compliments, see how good you feel, and see how happy it makes the people you give those compliments to. Just one little thing I want to say before I go. The merch last year, if you're interested, I didn't sell much. You know, I don't push it massively. I didn't sell much merch. I think I sold, was it 3 t-shirts or something? I got rid of a few, and I don't get a big cut out of that. So I did double it, like I said I would, and I gave the donation to Save the Children, which I'm sure you've heard of. That's what I did with the money. If you buy any merchandise this year, then I'll do exactly the same thing. No one buys any this time of year. But if you do buy any, you know, you can rest assured that that money will go straight to Save the Children. And I'll probably double it again this year as well. Anyway, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, I would love to hear from you. My email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. The website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Don't you worry about that. I'm back into it. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
You did it!
No! We did it! All the presents delivered in record time, and Christmas spirit is up to 95%. Yeah!